Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds, and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance, and dental care. This is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. Because your pet health matters. Please welcome your pet doctor host, veterinary media consultant, and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Pen Pals of San Quentin. No, it's not a correspondence initiative for the inmates of this Northern California prison, but rather an innovative partnership between the Marin Humane Society and this penal institution. Dogs with special rehabilitation needs are matched with selected minimum security inmates. This program and its coordinator, Larry Carson, have had such a phenomenal success that the California Veterinary Medical Association has honored them. My guest today will be this coordinator, Larry Carson. You're listening right now to Pet Life Radio and The Pet Doctor. I'm Dr. Bernadine Cruz, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Pick up something unique at A Bone to Pick Dog Boutique. A Bone to Pick has cool hip fashions for big and small dogs that will have their tails wagging in style. Cat products too. ABONE-TO-PICK.com. Check out our eco-friendly pet products and gifts for humans too. ABONE-TO-PICK.com. Get your pet's mouth watering monthly with our Gourmet Treat of the Month Club and join A Bone to Pick's free birthday club for your puppy. ABONE-TO-PICK.com. Pick up something special for your best friend at A Bone to Pick. ABONE-TO-PICK.com. Get 10% off with coupon code PETLIFE.
Does your dog have problems walking with its back legs? If so, your dog is one of 58 million dogs that suffer with problems with its rear leg. Problems such as spinal myelopathy, arthritis, and hip dysplasia. Bottoms Up Leash helps your dog walk. It's a rear support harness that has won numerous awards such as Dog Fancy's Editor's Choice Award as Product of the Year, and it's been featured on CBS and Good Morning America. Visit the website www.seniorpetsupplies.com.
When you're looking to add a pet into your life, consider adopting a homeless animal from your local shelter or rescue group. Whether you want a kitten, puppy, or a more mature pet, a purebred or a one-of-a-kind mixed breed, even a rabbit or hamster, your shelter has the best selection of animals anywhere, all screened for good health and behavior. PetLifeRadio.com presents Take Me Home with your host, Susan Daffron. Join us each week as we showcase wonderful pets, tell stories, and even throw some pet education into the mix. So get ready to find out why the pet adoption option can be a great way to add a furry companion into your life. Take Me Home every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
Mr. Carson, thank you so much for being with us. This is just a fantastic idea. How did you come up with it?
Well, actually, I got the idea originally from seeing the pilot program to the Cell Dog series. This was about 4 years ago, and when I saw it, it immediately struck me that this is a perfect fit between the Marin Humane Society and San Quentin. These programs are really a win-win situation. So what I did is I actually contacted One of the prisons that this program was going on, the Nevada State Prison and the Nevada Humane Society. And the warden of the prison at that time was gracious enough to spend about 3 hours with me going through the prison and explaining their program. So our program is actually based on a program that they do at Carson City.
Now, some people might think, okay, you have these hardened criminals, they're in jail, they're in San Quentin, and you're bringing these poor, helpless animals to them. Aren't you putting these dogs in harm's way?
Actually, we're not, because, one, these inmates are minimum security inmates. We screen them so that they have no history of any abuse, either child abuse or spousal abuse or animal abuse. And the point that we make here is that all of these inmates will eventually be out. They will all be your neighbors. They will be standing in line with you at the grocery store. So we want these inmates to come out with the best possible attitude. Animals really do change people. It helps with teaching them empathy, teaches them responsibility, and it really gives them something to love while they're there. And they take that responsibility very, very seriously.
I saw a picture on your website, and it looks like just a bunch of firemen that have these dogs with them. Now, these are inmates?
Actually, they are. They're inmate firefighters at San Quentin. San Quentin is about 440 acres, and it's really a little city. So the San Quentin Fire Department is on the grounds of San Quentin, but not within the walls of the prison. So all of the firemen at San Quentin are actually inmate firefighters.
So they're learning definitely good trade. Speaking of learning, how do you go ahead and teach these men to take care of the dogs? What are they teaching the dogs? And, okay, first thing, how do you train these people to take care of the dogs?
Well, when we initially started the program, we started out with 8 guys, brand new program. So we held a 3-day, 5-hour-a-day seminar. We talked to them about behavior modification. We talked to them about body language, breed recognition, breed traits, and positive reinforcement. All our training is based on positive reinforcement. So that was the beginning of the program. So it was sort of a crash course on everything you need to know about dogs and dog training. And we visit the prison with myself and an instructor and a dog training assistant 2 times a week, every Tuesday and Thursday, and have about a half hour of classroom time, and then the rest is hands-on training with the dogs and the men. There is always a primary and a secondary handler for each dog. So an inmate may start out as a secondary, so he's helping the primary with that dog. And as he's helping him, he's learning everything that that inmate knows about dog training and what we teach them both.
So these dogs actually live there at San Quentin?
They do. They live there 24/7. The inmate firefighters actually have rooms above the firehouse. So they're not actually in cells. They're actually in small rooms, rooms that we would consider very small, probably 8 by 10, just enough room for a bed and a dresser and a dog crate.
And these dogs, how do you choose the dogs? Because in this little bio that I had, it said these were dogs with special needs. What are their needs?
We send several different types of dogs to San Quentin. I would say 60% of the dogs go there are there for medical fosters of some sort. We have a staff veterinarian that treats the dogs at the Marin Humane Society, and then we will send them off to San Quentin for rehabilitation. We treat and send a lot of heartworm-positive dogs there. We have another program at the Marin Humane Society, which is the Pet Partnership. We actually go through the state and choose dogs from other shelters that have high euthanasia rates. So we're able to lower euthanasia rates in other shelters because we have such a high volume of adoptions in Marin. So consequently, a lot of dogs that come from different areas of California need rehabilitation.
These prisoners need rehabilitation also.
That's correct. So we send heartworm-positive dogs there. We send post-surgical dogs there. We send all kinds of medical rehabilitations. But we also send shy and shut-down dogs, dogs that would normally be good dogs if they had some time one-on-one with someone just to bring them around, just to make them good adoption candidates. The other types of dogs we send there are adolescent dogs, dogs that are basically good dogs but really in need of some training to make them good adoption candidates. So those are really the 3 classifications of dogs that are good dogs for San Quentin.
How long do these dogs, what's their time behind bars for these dogs?
It depends on why they're there. Some dogs are there for as little as 2 weeks, and we've had some dogs there as long as 6 months.
Oh, my goodness. There must be a fantastic bonding going on between these inmates and the dogs. What great stories do you have of how these dogs have affected these people? What have been some of the positive feedback?
Oh, there have been many, many things. Many, many positive things for not only the dogs, but the inmates. We've had inmates that have come there that have basically been in and out of prison. And until they got involved in a program like this, they really never, ever had a real connection to the community. The outside community is something that is completely divorced from the inmates in prison. But through these programs, not only do they have an opportunity to give back to the outside community by working with these dogs, turning out good adoption dogs, and knowing that these dogs go to a loving family on the outside, they also have much more contact with the outside because of the staff that come from the Marine Humane Society to work with them.
How long has this program been in effect? And of the inmates who've gone through the program, what is their, I won't even try the word, what is the word recidivism when they're let out of prison getting back in again?
The program has been in effect for a little over 3 years. We've had about 27 inmates through the program. And so far, we have only had 2 inmates come back on parole violations. And that's, you know, under a 10% recidivism rate so far, when the normal recidivism rate in California is about 70-80%.
Wow, that's excellent. A program like this must cost people money. Where is the funds coming from?
The funds come from the Marine Humane Society. We actually fund the whole thing with grants and donations. So there is no tax, no cost to the taxpayer in these programs.
So these are really therapy dogs and therapy people because they're both helping each other. Any other great stories that you have of the interconnection of these dogs kind of building bridges for these inmates?
Well, you know, in the inmate population generally, they restrict themselves to different ethnic groups and different geographical locations. The black guys hang out with the black guys, the white guys hang out with the white guys, the people from Southern California don't communicate with the people from Northern California, the staff doesn't have any meaningful contact with the inmates. But when you bring a dog into that equation, everything changes. A dog is neutral territory. So you'll see guys from Southern California speaking to guys from Northern California. You'll see staff that used to come, guards that used to come and do count and then leave. They hang around for a while. They talk to the inmates. They talk about the dogs, you know, and this really changes the whole atmosphere there. In the program in Nevada, the warden told me that violence in the prison generally was down 30% since the program started there. And we see similar situations at San Quentin.
It seems like it's very humanizing that here is an area where there's not a lot of love, and all of a sudden, just a tail attached to a love machine walks through the door, and everyone lets down their guard a little bit. Are there other programs like this? You mentioned one in Nevada. Are there others throughout the United States?
There are probably 100 programs like this throughout the United States. These programs actually have been around for about 15 to 20 years. The first ones were started by a nun, and they have really blossomed. We actually started, the one at San Quentin was started because we had a warden at that time that was very progressive, and she saw these programs working in other institutions throughout the country. And she said, you know, there are going to be bumps in the road, but I know these programs work. I've seen them work. And she said, whatever it takes, we're just going to do this.
People are listening to this show literally throughout the world, throughout the United States. If somebody is interested, saying, you know, if Larry Carson, who is not involved in the penal system, could get a project like this up and going, gee, I think I'd like to do it myself in my own community. Where can they get more information on this, Larry? Because it is just fantastic.
They can contact me. My name is Larry Carson, and they can contact me at lcarson@marinehumanesociety.org. We have been instrumental in getting another program started at the prison at Susanville And we've also helped some people get something started in Santa Cruz. So we have the resources to give you the information to really help you get these things going. I mean, these are win-win programs. And I think once people realize that it's not only good for the dogs, but it's good for the guys in terms of rehabilitation. As I said before, all of these guys will eventually get out. They're going to be part of the community. So we want them to have the best attitude possible when they're back in the community. And dogs really do that.
You had mentioned earlier about screening these gentlemen, making sure they had no history of animal abuse or family abuse, because they have shown that when children in particular start abusing animals, you know, that mean bully kid who ties a firecracker around a dog's tail or does other horrid things to pets, that oftentimes that will escalate now into hurting people, hurting children. So, yes, this is just a fantastic win-win situation. So, Larry, I do appreciate you being with us today on The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. You're listening to Dr. Bernadine Cruz. We'll be right back after this short break, and we'll be learning about how you can rub your pet just the right way. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Fluff your feathers, roll out your tongue, shine your fins, snap on your leashes, and grab your human. It's the Louisville Pet Lovers Expo. Two full days of pet-tastic fun that no pet lover should miss. Join us for shopping, the Barks and Couture Fashion Show, Dream Pet Wedding, Ultimate Pet Makeover, Pet Communicator, Rescue Me Pet Adoption, Service Dog Demonstration, and tons of fun contests. Bring your pets and join us at the Louisville Pet Lovers Expo, Saturday, September 27th, and Sunday, September 28th at the Kentucky Expo Center. For more information, go to LouisvillePetExpo.com.
New York, the glitz, the glamour, the exciting Mutt-tropolis, the sparkling kitty city that never sleeps. Join us each week for Pets in the City with your host, Diane West. Celebrity pet sightings, hot events, and news and reviews with the hottest movers, shakers, and tail waggers in New York. So take a bite out of the Big Apple with Pets in the City every week on demand only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
There are few things more relaxing than a good massage for relieving stress, but a massage for dogs and cats? My guest today is Jean-Pierre Hodebe, and he is an internationally recognized pioneer in the field of dog, cat, and horse massage. He'll inform us on some benefits of pet massage, from speeding post-operative healing to increasing the loving bonds that you and your pet share. Jean-Pierre, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, number one, how did you get into animal massage?
Good question. My love of animals, mostly. I became a licensed massage therapist in 1983 for humans, and work actively with Sports Canada, which gave me a higher level of training working with sports doctors. And years down the road, as my pace of life slowed down a bit, I went back to my previous love of animals, this time with my massage expertise. And I started applying my knowledge and realized that there was a niche need to be developed. And once I started to research documentation, I realized there was nothing. Back in 1984, 85, there was nothing available regarding animal massage. So I realized, hey, it's a great adventure for me, and I've been very happy with it for the last, basically 20 years.
Now, I can see massaging a dog or a cat. Kind of small, you can get your hands on them, but massaging horses?
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of people have that awareness of wow, it's a big animal, but, you know, horses don't have the same level of fatigue stress than we have. And they release very easily. They're very much like children. The moment you address the area of tension, they melt right into it. So if you have good posture and if you have good technique, then it's not as exerting energy-wise. You can work an animal quite easily, even if it's a large animal. It's not that fatiguing.
Amazing, because I know when I get a massage, I tend to hold all of my stress in my shoulders and neck, as I'm sure a lot of people do. I feel very sorry for the masseuse because they come out of there just terribly tired afterwards.
Well, you know, if they are good therapists, they should know how to drain themselves easily from what they have picked up from you. That's the commitment of the therapist to you, is helping you download, and they pick it up for a while, and then they release it themselves. And again, working with animals, they don't have the same amount of stress, so it's much easier and it's not as demanding to release an animal from his stress. They don't have to perform a job, you know, they just graze all day long or play around and have to perform for a couple hours a day type thing, and that's about it. So their stress level is very minimal.
Other than stress, what would be some other indications for massaging a pet?
Well, unfortunately, due to the increase of breeding and crossbreeding, there is a lot of unfortunate side effects such as hip dysplasia and sleeping patellas and arthritis. So all those conditions will trigger a lot of soreness, which will automatically cause the animal to compensate. And that compensation phenomenon results in a lot of muscular tension spreading through the entire body. So regular massage can really assist an animal who has arthritis, issue with his hips or legs, and a daily care for that animal will make a world of difference. We're talking years in difference in life span for a horse or an animal, so a dog or cat who has but arthritis versus not getting any massage. So you can really make a huge difference.
Other than orthopedic issues, what would be some other indications for wanting to get in there and giving your pet a good massage?
Well, as you know, a lot of dogs have been involved in agility. Agility has been the fastest growing, you know, animal sport in North America for the last 10 years. And, you know, you're looking at an animal that most of the time spend the entire week on the couch waiting for their master to come home. And come the weekend, they go play all day long. So come the end of the weekend, they are pretty stiff and tight and sore from jumping and swirling and turning fast and catching frisbee, catching balls, whatever the game is. And they, you know, that will result in a lot of buildup of not only lactic acid, but muscle exertion and, you know, sometimes stress point. And unevenness in the musculature can result in sometimes slipping on a vertebrae. So a bone may be slightly out of whack because of the tight muscle group. And regular massage can prevent that from happening.
You'd mentioned lactic acid. I know when I have a massage, afterwards they always say, drink a lot of water. We've increased circulation. Does this also happen in a pet?
Definitely. Definitely. We share so much of the similar physiology than you know, with animals, that as you do a massage on an animal, you definitely want to have a little water available to them. As soon as they finish a massage, most of them will go, either they will go and take a pee first because, you know, again, massaging increased circulation of fluids, and that often results in a full bladder at the end of the massage. So they may have to do that first, but the next thing would be they would be drinking for sure.
How often should a pet owner try to massage their pet?
Well, I encourage them to do it on a daily basis. It's comforting to the animal. It increases the bonding. It's also a grounding for the person that does it. So that alone is a tremendous positive impact on the lifestyle and the relationship between the owner and the pet. But for also preventive purposes, a regular massage can help you detect any abnormality with your animal early, much faster than by sight. So by palpating your animal through your light massage, you can quickly evaluate if your dog is, or cat or horse is getting sore or tight in unexpected places. Therefore, you can take action much earlier. However, you know, it's not always easy to schedule that time on your daily routine. But, you know, once a week is a good rhythm, you know, on the weekend if you can spend, you know, especially with smaller animals, you know, you need, what, 20 minutes, half hour most to do a full body massage. So that should be easy to find.
How early can you start a pet on massaging? Is there a right age? Should you wait until they're 6 months of age? Can you do it with puppies and kittens?
Well, in my early aspect of practice, I used to wait for a few months before you start massaging because I was just worried that if people don't know the strengths, simply by having heavy pressure, they might end up you know, straining a little bit on the vessels or the nerve endings, especially with a young puppy. But with experience and having a few young pups of my own over the years, I realized that, you know, if you have a very light touch, you can start early as possible. I'm talking within the first couple of weeks of life, indeed being very gentle in the process and very careful, but that kind of, you know, it's almost a grounding connection with the animal. The animal gets touched, he accepts the touch, you touching him, it's a very good symbiosis between the animal owner and the pet, and the pets learn to let go and relax at the hand of the owner much faster. So that early imprinting is good. So even if you don't do more of a sport massage like you would do with an older animal, the simple fact of touching lightly, like a light drainage, a small effleurage, stroking, and a light stretching routine would be wonderful for the animal.
Well, I know I'd want to be your puppy, and you could just kind of massage me whenever. Sounds wonderful. How do these dogs and cats typically react to the massage? Do they get tense and kind of go, oh, this is bothering me? Or is it just very much, just relaxing and feeling wondrous?
I would say that as a rule, it is them relaxing, enjoying the touch. However, let's remember that when people bring animals to my home, these animals come into a new home. So for the first 10, 15 minutes, they are a bit on the defense, you know, smelling new smells, new places, watching, looking. I do have animals of my own, so they pick up on the smell. So it usually takes them 20, 30 minutes to relax. So usually when they come in, I let them wander around, have a little lick of water, maybe get a little food, and then we start the massage, and I keep the animal owner close by and make sure that the animal relax. But the moment you start massaging, I do have a relaxation massage routine that works wonderful for all animals. This particular routine helps trigger a parasympathetic response of healing and repair in the animal. So the moment you start to apply that, within a matter of minutes, the animal really switches into a relaxation mode and really gives in. Now, once I come to the animal location, like if I do a house call, as we call it, then the animal is that much more comfortable because in the comfort of his own home, and he's on his own toys, his own blankie, and at that point, the massage goes on much faster.
Now, you're mentioning to people, you know, going to somebody's home and doing it, and I'm sure everyone that's listening to this would love to have you come in, but you living in Florida, that can't be done. How can people learn, how can people learn to massage their pet? Is it difficult to do?
No, massage is most easily learned. What is most hard, the hardest part for me of a good massage therapist is to be attuned to animals. I have trained many human massage therapists who had no real connection with animals, and they were not successful. Meanwhile, I have trained animal owners, groomers, trainers, and they go right into it because learning a massage is very easy. Now, I have a great book called Canine Massage, a complete reference manual. It's in revised edition now with DogWise. There is also a companion video. There is indeed workbook posters for the people that are eager to know everything about massage. But that book alone will take you through all the modalities of, you know, the various massage movements, some very simple, easy techniques to get rid of swellings, of stress point, trigger point. And there is many examples of various routines, like the relaxation massage routine, but also a maintenance routine for the more athletic animal, but also a lymph drainage for the older animal that kind of gets stocked up because of arthritis and lack of movement. So this book really covers it all and will be definitely a big step for the person to learn animal massage, which, again, is very easily learned.
Now, we've been talking a lot about massaging dogs, and you also mentioned massaging horses, but I have two cats, and how about massaging cats? Will they let you do it also?
Well, you have two, I have two. Cats are on a very different path. My experience has told me that when a cat has been wounded, regardless of the wound, they are in a much more receptive, accepting, touch, feely mode. And therefore, at that time, to massage the animal, address the wound, is much easier, as long as you keep a very nice, soft voice to calm them down and stroke them. However, the massage has to be very light. Cat won't accept deep pressure. So you have to be very aware of your palpation skills at that point. Now, with a healthy cat, that's a different story. You know, 1 minute you come along and you can start petting them and they purr and you massage them and they stretch them and they love it. And 1 second they turn around, they paw you and they take off. So, you know.
Or bite you.
Yeah. Well, you know, most of the time they won't bite you, but, you know, they will at least, you know, paw you a few times and take off. So, you know, you just have to be patient. But once they start to learn that you're not invasive and you respect them and all that, they will be more receptive. Now, if you have the chance to massage your kitten at an early stage in his life, then that's a given, because at that point he will grow learning to love it, and then as an adult he will just say, please do me. Just to narrate an example, I'm switching to a dog. For one point I had an Australian Shepherd, and I used to massage him as a puppy. Actually, he's the star of one of my video for dog massage course. And as he grew older and older as a big dog, every time I come home in the evening, he'll come and sit right beside me. I'm talking a couple inches beside me. And then if within 5 minutes I didn't start to pet him, he will sit right on my foot. That's his way to say, Dad, get on, my massage. Before anything
else. Did you forget something? Yes, you need to massage me.
Got it. So that was cute.
Well, we do know that massaging animals, petting an animal, is supposed to drop your blood pressure, be very relaxing to you. Now we see the benefits that it's also very relaxing to them. So this emotional bonding that you have between the two is great. And I do agree with you that you can find, if nothing else, a lump or a bump that maybe you wouldn't have found otherwise, or you'll notice that when before you were moving this particular limb around, it moved very easily and now it seems to be stiff. So this would be a great way for an owner to tell if there's some early signs of arthritis or a lump or a bump that may be very significant. I love the idea of this
exactly.
Touch and gentling.
Yeah, exactly. You're very good about that. It's so important. And that allows the animal owner to take action much faster and prevent sometimes dramatic turn of events. Now, there's one little warning that I wish to say at this point, is that when you start massaging your animal, you know, most pet owners are responsible. They take the animal to the vet, so they know about the health of the animal. But sometimes some pet owners who haven't had that diligence or the availability of a vet in their close vicinity have to realize that sometimes animals have conditions that don't seem to be apparent, like, for example, insulin insufficiency. So if the dog is a diabetic, or the animal, or the cat is diabetic, if you start massaging, you have to be careful, make sure they had some food before. Otherwise, you might cause them a little bit of a lethargic response after the massage. So just one little warning with animal massage is that, you know, you want to be careful to ensure that no contraindication applies to your animal. And the best way to do that is to consult with your veterinarian first and asking your veterinarian if it's okay to massage your animal pet. Because sometimes there might be some underlying condition, either such as bone spurs from arthritis, some varicose veins, but also if the animal is a little insulin dependent, massage can be affecting those animals in various ways that might be not as desirable. So once the vet gives you the okay, you should be fine to massage your pet anytime you want.
Jean-Pierre, I'm going to show my ignorance by you just mentioning if an animal were insulin dependent that you need to be cautious with massage. Why so? I had no idea.
Well, I mean, the thing is, as you know, massage increases blood circulation, you include fluid metabolism, and if the animal is running low on sugar, then all of a sudden, boom, the insulin increases, and all of a sudden they go into that comatose type state. So they need to have some food first. Like, you know, some quick sugars, or usually people that have any pets who are insulin dependent, you know, knows about that, and they will quickly remedy to that. But the idea about that is, if you know your dog or your cat belong to that category, is to make sure that they have either the insulin supplement or have enough food before the massage so they don't run into that problem.
excellent idea. This is a subject that I know very little about, but I do know that my own dogs and cats have enjoyed massaging. It sounds as though I need to get your book and start doing it properly, because there's really a great need, and putting this together with traditional Western medicine can really, I think, lead to a very healthy, happy pet, and one that is going to be relieved of its various stresses, no matter what the cause is. And it helps a person at the same time, too. My guest today has been very interesting. It is Jean-Pierre Hodebet, a internationally renowned pet animal massage therapist, and has books that you can access. Is there a website, Jean-Pierre, that people can go to learn more about pet massage?
Indeed, indeed. The site is massageawareness.com, and there you'll find all kind of information on the various books that I have published through publishers, but some I have also self-published, and there's a lot more to come. There's a new title I'm working actively on that should be out within a couple of months, which is a fitness evaluation of the dog, just to help animals who are in the conditioning stage to get better, and for the animal owner to understand how through the massage it can really be a big part of that training process and evolution for the animal to compete at a higher level.
Sounds excellent. Jean-Pierre, thank you very much. If you, the listener, have any questions about your pet, the best thing to do is always contact your personal veterinarian, your primary care veterinarian first. If you still have concerns, please feel free to contact me at the Pet Doctor, all one word, at PetLifeRadio.com. The goal of this show has always been to entertain, educate, and to motivate you to be the best pet owner that you can be. I'm Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Please listen again next week. We'll have more interesting guests.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Because they're a member of the family, keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. On demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.